disciplines. We've had code staff, policy staff, our tree program staff, and our invasive program staff helping in this effort. And overall, I'm very supportive of the product that I think was managed to a good conclusion by BPS. Right now, we're at the end of the first 5 years of implementation of the Watershed Management Plan, but even as we began to develop that plan almost 7 years ago, the community at large wanted to talk about trees a lot. How can we plant more? How can we better protect the ones we have? How can we consolidate and simplify a complex and dispersed code? So after 5 years of watershed plan implementation, we know much more about trees and the myriad of services they provide. They clean our air, they cool our homes, they provide needed habitat, they clean, cool, and retain stormwater runoff and further protect our pipe infrastructure by taking water out of pipes, preventing pipe overflows, and extending the life of our pipe system. So in short, a healthy urban tree canopy improves watershed health, which is a cornerstone of the watershed plan, and in fact protects our pipe infrastructure. So we support the citywide tree project, code title 11 trees, because it more effectively protects and enlarges our urban tree canopy and thus bolsters watershed plan implementation. The new code will provide streamlined and cost-effective regulation that better protects existing and new trees. Regarding new trees, through the city's Greater Green efforts, we're in the process of planting 83,000 trees. And as we increase this asset, it's critical that effective code exists to protect it. Further, through a more systematic approach to incorporate tree issues earlier into the design process for development projects, more trees will be preserved, more will be planted, and trees that need to be removed as a result of development will be more effectively mitigated for. Another key element of the watershed plan is the removal of and protection of the spread of invasive plants, including trees. Title 11 will bring tree regulations in alignment with our city's invasive species management strategy by preventing the planting of invasive species of trees on city property and streets. In the long run, this will reduce the city's cost to remove invasive trees from city-managed property. In closing, BES wholeheartedly supports the adoption of Code Title 11 trees because it will allow Portland to make significant gains in the protection and proliferation of the urban tree canopy. The urban tree canopy is rapidly emerging to be one of our most important and productive infrastructure assets. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. We'll now move to public testimony. We'll be calling, Sue, the council clerk, will be calling the three folks that will be testifying most immediately, followed by the three after. So if you're sitting in the upper portion of the chamber, you can make your way down.
The first three are Russell Mantefel, John Warner, Terry Parker. They'll be followed by Fred Nielsen, Albert Kaufman, and Nicole Cooper.
All right, we got to move faster than that, folks. We have a lot of people to hear. It's testimony and exercise. Please begin.
My name is Russell Mantefel, a resident of Portland, and I'm a vice chair of the board of directors of the Johnson Creek Watershed Council. I'm here on behalf of the Johnson Creek Watershed Council. I submitted via email a statement I'm going to read today. I brought hard copies if you're interested as well. Normally I don't make any time to speak. I overcompensated. Time to pay the piper. Okay. On behalf of the Johnson Creek Watershed Council, I'd like to strongly encourage the Portland City Council to adopt the amendments proposed today in the recommended draft of the citywide tree project. As I'll discuss later, maintaining and improving urban forest is paramount to making Portland a livable city and protecting its environment. Further, the proposed amendments focus on preserving existing trees and expanding the urban canopy, which is an economical way to achieve the goal of increasing Portland's urban forest, as prioritizing the protection of existing trees is far less costly than the avoided cost of replacing those trees through revegetation. We are also encouraged by the focus on responsible forestry methods that encourage native trees, which supports the Watershed Council's ongoing effort of removing invasive species throughout the Johnson Creek watershed. A healthy urban forest is vital to maintaining watershed health and preserving quality of life for the watershed residents. Intact urban forests prevent erosion, reduce flooding, provide habitat for fish and wildlife, and help to improve water quality, issues that are a major concern in Portland's portion of the Johnson Creek watershed. A healthy, expansive urban forest also reduces the urban heat island effect, improves air quality, provides access to nature in urban and suburban neighborhoods, and reduces traffic accidents, prevents crime through environmental design, and increases property values and thus the local tax base. All these benefits will help to make Portland a more vibrant, healthy, and economically competitive community. For all these reasons, the Johns Creek Watershed Council supports the changes proposed in the recommended draft. After years of extensive review and public involvement, we believe that the proposals are a hard-earned yet worthwhile outcome. As such, the council will be well-served by adopting them. Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
Good job. Mr. Parker.
Good role model.
Actually, I was third.
Oh, sir.
Mayor, members of the commission. I'm John Warner. I'm from Northeast Portland. And I'm here in support of the proposed tree ordinance and wish to express my appreciation for the city's efforts to streamline and rationalize the policies that impact the ongoing installation and maintenance of Portland City and private trees. Initially, we valued the urban forest for its visual and aesthetic aspects only, and over the years, we have come to realize that tree canopy helps us to achieve further cultural, economic, and environmental goals as well. Our tree canopy goals today will only be achieved by the coordination, cooperation, and commitment of all the city bureaus, as well as the goodwill and support of the citizens, not only during project planning and implementation, but also during the long-term maintenance as well. The new Title 11 must affect this. And as we review and hopefully adopt a proposed new code, I'd like to offer four brief suggestions that would build on the legacy of those who helped us realize the success we have today and also sustain the goodwill of Portland citizens who value their canopy. Number one, given that we now recognize the urban forest as a valuable infrastructure, please locate the administration of the tree code within an appropriate bureau which can effectively administer the new code and provide the appropriate leadership to achieve the administration, planning, development, and the ongoing maintenance of the code. It should have sufficient authority and resources to navigate the interbureau coordination required to achieve these administration, planning, and development goals. Two, apply the regulations consistently and uniformly throughout the city on both public and private projects, large and small. An important first step would be to develop a single tree list that synthesizes all the city's bureau's various requirements. Three, please amend the proposed code to allow street trees to count toward the canopy. Finally, I request the City Council establish a procedure to receive periodic reviews of the status of the code and the proposed tree manual on an ongoing basis.
Thank you very much. Mr. Parker, welcome back.
Thank you. My name is Terry Parker. I'm wearing a slightly different hat tonight. I'm officially representing the Rose City Park Neighborhood Association. I was asked to do so when I got home this afternoon. As a member of the Land Use and Transportation Committee, we've been involved with in reviewing the background reports of the Portland Plan, which I hope you've had a chance to read. Our report was submitted in November. Safety at the 60th MAC station, community gardens, and more recently the 50th Avenue Bike Plan. We just have some concerns that we want to express tonight. The first one being, is this an encroachment on private property rights? We really haven't had a chance to review the whole thing with our plate rather full. The second concern is about having to pay a fee if a large tree is taken down and not replaced. Is that kind of a money-grabbing issue when it involves cutting down a tree that is causing damage to structures or infrastructure and or is no longer in an appropriate place, a safety hazard, an unhealthy tree, a variety of reasons? I mean, I think we need possibly some flexibility there looking at the individual circumstance. And the third concern would be for those residents who have little or no funds to pay for the added tree services that are now possibly being mandated by the city. And that comes with a question. Is the city also going to start up a Friends of Trees, a shadow unit that comes to the aid of those people that are unable to pay? And I would call that both a question and possibly a recommendation to be added into it. You will be receiving a follow-up, either an email or possibly at this March 9th hearing from one of our other members that can give you some more details, but they did want someone to come down and at least express our concerns tonight. So I thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. The next three?
Next three, Fred Nielsen, Albert Kaufman, Nicole Cooper. They'll be followed by Annette Mattson, Michael, I'm not sure of your last name, you're on Southwest Sunset Boulevard, and Greg Shipsky.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes. Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Fred Nielsen. I live in the Richmond neighborhood and have for 34 years. For 30 years, I was a city employee of Parks and Recreation, and for 22 and a half of those, I managed a Hoyt Arboretum in Forest Park and all the West Side natural resource areas. Since my retirement in 2008, I've been a board member of Friends of Trees, and I truly believe in this, the mission of Friends of Trees, the organization. It addresses the need, not only the need for trees in our community, but is involved in hundreds of citizens and community volunteerism. I'm here to support the city tree policy review and welcome continued conversation on this issue. Being a committed member of Friends of Trees, I know the importance of citizen involvement and the involvement that comes with ownership of trees and ownership of our forest and a sense of connectedness to our community. I think that the tree policy that offers some solutions toward that in terms of further getting people involved with the community service improvements section with the single point of contact, the manual, of course, that will have to be rewritten a few times and simplified and make so it gets out to the people that can, you know, best utilize it. And then the potential for developing neighborhood tree plans. And I think that in neighborhood tree plans, it brings our neighborhoods together and we can do work on that. What the environmental overlay zones did for conservation of natural areas in the 90s, I think that the citywide tree policy will contribute to the conservation of larger trees. And I look forward to that. Knowing something about trees, collections, and forest management, I'm very aware of past decisions, both good and bad. And for the last 20 years, we've been doing a much better job managing our natural areas. I look at the citywide tree policy and with the tools, we can better manage our built environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ness. Mr. Kaufman?
Hi, I'm Albert Kaufman. I'm the neighborhood coordinator for the Irvington neighborhood for Friends of Trees. And we're about to do a tree planting on March 12th, and we're looking for volunteers. So I've been planting trees in cities for years. I used to live in Seattle, and there the Department of Transportation was involved heavily. And basically, one day I decided I wanted to plant trees on my block, and through the Department of Transportation, I was basically given a little bit of a script. The trees were free. I ended up planting about 2,000 trees over the course of 7 years in the neighborhood. And none of them cost anything for any of the neighbors. When I go back to Beacon Hill in Seattle, I'm just thrilled at what could be accomplished if trees were made less expensive for residents. I wanted to submit this incredible document that I came across today called Building Climate Resiliency in the Lower Willamette Region of Western Oregon. And it's a document that was put together by a group called Climate Leadership Initiative. I obviously don't have time to read the whole thing, but one little section of it talks about food and water scarcity, and it says the projected frequency and severity of emergency events along with expected changes in global food supply leave the lower Willamette vulnerable to food and water scarcity. Emergency food systems, particularly in rural areas, are already widely utilized under non-emergency situations, and the need for emergency food is increasing. I want to make a real strong call for us to think about how to get more fruit trees into our system. Apple, pear, peach, plum, quince are some of the varieties. Obviously, there are more of those. I also am noticing in this room and probably in our city there's quite a lack of awareness, I think, amongst younger populations about the importance of fruit trees and trees in general. I think we look up into the skies and we see men with axes lately, you know, on our buildings. There's a little something
there. That's
soccer.
That's soccer.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And it's
okay,
related.
I need you to wrap up.
And so I would like to also include information and an outreach effort to young people in the city about trees.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am.
You're welcome.
I did plan for 3 minutes. Thank you. Good evening, council members. My name is Nicole Copen. I am here as a citizen, dietitian, and former member of the Portland Multnomah Food Policy Council, or FPC. In May 2009, the FPC approved the Portland Fruit and Nut Tree Report, written with expert input from Parks and Rec, OSU Extension, and several nonprofits. This report served several functions. It outlined the human and environmental benefits of planting fruit and nut trees, listed the appropriate fruit and nut trees to be planted in this region, and encouraged several policy recommendations. The report has been submitted as part of my testimony. Subsequently, FPC brought the report to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to review the possibility of turning some of these recommendations into a reality. I'm here tonight to happily report that the Citywide Tree Policy Review and Regulatory Improvement Project has brought these recommendations one step closer to reality. The Citywide Tree Project includes the recommendation of fruit and nut trees as a topic of interest in the proposed Community Tree Manual, recommends that the Portland Plan explicitly recognize the key functions and services provided by trees, including trees as a food source, and refers to trees as a source of food and wildlife and for wildlife and people as a desired benefit in Volume 3. The funding and creation of proposed user-friendly community tree manual will be key to making it easy for Portland residents to figure out which trees to plant, where, and how. Supplying lists in this manual and how-tos specifically for food-bearing trees will make it easy for residents to create a perennial food source for themselves and their neighbors. The concept of a neighborhood tree plan outlined in this proposal paves way for the potential of urban orchards, an efficient design for maximum harvest with minimal effort. With permission, I share that the Portland Fruit Tree Project has expressed an interest in supporting this project with partnership to help cultivate community orchards and assist in the creation of a fruit tree section of the tree manual. A quick statistic. According to USDA and Oregon Food Bank, 14% of Oregonians experienced food insecurity or hunger in 2010. In 2010, the Portland Fruit Tree Project harvested 30,000 pounds of fruit. Their goal for 2011 is to harvest 40,000 pounds. Half of their harvest goes to the hungry. What if we all grew a fruit tree and gave half of the bountiful harvest to the hungry? From the standpoint of improving health and nutrition, reducing carbon emissions, increasing food security, and decreased dependence on fossil fuels, food-bearing trees make sense. And the Citywide Tree Project is one of the first proposals that explicitly recognizes and supports this. Thank you to BPS for listening.
Thank you all very much. The next three.
The next three. Annette Mattson, Michael on Southwest Sunset Boulevard, Greg Shifsky. They will be followed by Alyssa Eisenstein-Kruger, Jane Hansen, and Terry Prague-Rigsby.
Ms. Mattson, welcome back.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. My name is Annette Mattson, and thank you for the opportunity to speak mostly in favor of the proposed changes to the citywide tree policy. I want to commend city staff for their work on this. I attended presentations, emailed, and even arrived with a list of questions and a stack of yellow stickies at an open house. And city staff are very patient. Policy on tree protection in Portland has been confusing and inadequate. Clarifying policy and centralizing functions are great ideas that are overdue. Citizens need this clarity. Neighborhood associations need this tool to protect their neighborhoods, but the proposed changes are still not quite enough. Penalties for illegal tree removal must be significant enough to be a real deterrent, not a minor inconvenience, to avoid healthy 24-inch diameter trees from being cut down at night so an above-ground pool can be put in. The 24-hour hotline is a great idea. Also, the fee to remove trees for development, I'm concerned, is too small. When you're talking about removing one tree, paying a few hundred for two small trees with multiple units, is that really adequate? I disagree with the standards not applying to lots of less than 3,000 feet in R1 designations. Small lots in R1 are exactly what too much of East Portland has been rezoned since annexation. The school district I live in was called David Douglas 51 years ago for the beautiful Douglas firs that were everywhere in our community. Many have been clear-cut for development that has destroyed the character of neighborhoods, and these majestic trees have often been replaced with a few blades of grass and a couple of spindly saplings. I disagree with the exemption that if a building covers 90% of the lot, it can be clear-cut. So you can take a large lot with lots of trees, design a big-box apartment building to cover 90% of it, and you can scalp it. I suggest a requirement that if trees are removed in one neighborhood, trees should be replanted in the same neighborhood. Fees should not be collected in Hazelwood and then used to purchase trees for South Waterfront. And there's a bigger issue here, the health of the city and this planet. Our mature trees clean and cool the air. If global warming and carbon reduction are so important to this council that you adopted a climate action plan, then please take even greater steps to protect the trees that are such an important part of our life-preserving ecosystem. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
I'm Michael McCloskey, and I'm a member of the Urban Forestry Commission, though Brian Craig made the statement for the commission. But I do strongly support the proposed new tree code, and I urge you to adopt it. The new code will provide coverage for the entire city. It'll end the current unfairness of having a code for trees that covers only certain property and gives a pass to others. This improvement will also cure a problem in the hilly parts of the southwestern part of the city that lack curbs and sidewalks, where I live. Here, it is much harder to tell where the city right-of-way ends and private property begins. As a consequence, people often fail to get required permits to prune and remove trees in front of their houses that turn out to be on city-owned property. The new code will overcome these difficulties by applying the code to all property owners of property, and by fixing obligations on them all. The new code will also enhance the importance accorded to large trees in Portland. Regulatory oversight will tend to grow as the trees involved increase in size. Portland already accords special attention, as you know, to large and old trees through its Heritage Tree Program, which I chair. That program will not only be continued, but given enhanced status. I also want to note that the new code sets forth more clearly that the city aims at retaining trees in its right-of-way that are well-established and healthy. Finally, I should mention that the new code proposal will also strengthen the role of the Urban Forestry Commission by giving it more time to focus on policy issues and by requiring its consultation by more city agencies. We welcome that improvement also.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Greg Shifsky, Bottom Mile Neighborhood, Mayor Adams, Councilors all. You've seen me here before. I got this in the mail about the city tree codes, and I certainly hope that you support this all the way and budget for it also. The only wonk item that I would have on the tree stuff, because everybody else here is providing very good testimony, weekend cutting has always been a problem. When the chainsaw starts up, there may be one inspector, maybe no inspectors on a weekend. If there was a free permit for a legal cutting on the weekends, that would be very beneficial to the new T11 codes. I'm just going to tell you a story about an Army experience. When I got to Korea in 1967, it was pretty shocking after you're there for a while. There's a smell of the honey bucket, and I'm not going to explain what that really is. But you look around at the hillsides, both in North and South Korea, there was no trees except in the sacred gardens and a few special places. They were denuded by the occupying power. And what I'm sort of challenging you as a council and this city is to, what are you going to look like in the future? What do you look like today? What did it look like when Lewis and Clark were here? With an implementation of a very effective, strong tree code, I think you'll find most everybody gets pleased. And it's up to you guys to vote for the future of this city and paint yourself green and really mean it.
Yep.
I just want to thank you, Greg. You were one of the citizens in Southwest who was most instrumental in getting this going, and so I think we wouldn't be here tonight without your advocacy and, indeed, your practical showing of being every weekend and a lot of evenings, too, out there planting as well as pulling ivy and various other things. So thank you for all of your work, both in the policy and in the implementation.
Well, thank you for listening, and thank your staff. They've done a terrific job. I really appreciate them.
Thank you all very much. The next three.
Alyssa Eisenstein-Kruger, Jane Hansen, Terry Prigg-Rigsby. They'll be followed by Jim Chassie, Corey Larner, and Janet Bebb.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Alyssa Eisenstein-Kruger, and I am here to request that the council deny the LADS addition exception for Norway maples because of the prevalence of verticillium wilt. I'm a resident of LADS Addition, too. We chose to live in LADS Addition in large part because of the historic district designation and the beautiful mature tree canopy. However, we are concerned that we are going to lose a large portion of this canopy by requiring the replacement of Norway maple trees with more maples. In an era where sustainable living and ecological responsibility is in the forefront of our lives, the simple act of responsible tree planting through the selection of appropriate and disease-resistant trees needs to be addressed to ensure we maintain the mature tree canopy in LADS Addition for the next 100 years. Save Our Elms has done a great job over the years with the elm trees, and we would like to see the same level of education applied as the maples in our neighborhood are replaced. When we moved into our home on Tamarack Avenue in December of 2004, our house was graced with a lovely but clearly diseased Norway maple. Over the next 4 years, we tried saving our tree, but in the summer of 2008, it was clear that the tree needed to be removed. The entire center was rotted, and many of the branches were dead, and we had already lost several giant limbs, thankfully not on cars or people. We called the City of Portland Urban Forestry Department and received a notice to remove the tree within 30 days and replace it with another maple. When an arborist removed our tree, he pointed out green rings in the trunk and told us this was a clear indication that the tree was infected with verticillium wilt, a soil-borne fungus. This fungus invades susceptible host plants, including maples, and plugs up water-conducting vessels in the roots and stem of the tree, causing great stress to the tree and branch die-off. Once a diseased tree is removed, the fungus remains in the soil, and the only cure is to plant a tree that is resistant to this fungus. All trees in the Acer family are susceptible to the fungus, and by planting a maple, regardless of maple variety, in the same location where the infected maple was removed, only perpetuates the problem. This was originally in an email, and I included some links to this from OSU and WSU. After we lost our maple, I spent several months over the fall of 2008 working on getting permission from Friends of Trees to order a tree resilient to verticillium wilt, not a maple tree, and thankfully a beautiful Zelkova was planted. We urge the neighborhood, the Historic Landmarks Commission, the Urban Forestry Commission, and the City Council to rethink this exception. Our chief and primary concern is maintaining a healthy, large tree canopy for LADS Addition. As much as we love and appreciate the maples, for both aesthetic and historic reasons, verticillium wilt is a problem, and in those areas, replanting maples will only diminish the long-term health and beauty of our gracious canopy.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi. I'm Jane Hansen, principal with Lango Hansen Landscape Architects, and I'm also a member of the Portland Design Commission. Tonight I'm here to read a letter from the Design Commission regarding the citywide tree project and the Portland Code requirements for tree planting. As part of the Portland citywide tree project that is underway, we strongly encourage the Bureau of Development Services to reconsider landscape requirements as they are currently written in Title 33 Code, Sections 33.248, Landscaping and Screening, and 33.266, Parking and Loading. The Design Commission feels that there are conflicts in the code as written that are leading to overplanting of trees, particularly on small and medium-sized sites. The first issue is that the required size of trees and related tree spacing indicated in Title 33 for perimeter screening and parking lot planting is too tight for the classification of large, medium, and small trees in the code reference Portland Tree and Landscaping Manual. The trees as classified in the manual, on average, have a mature diameter that is twice the required spacing for type. For instance, while the spacing requirement for large trees is 30 feet apart, the typical tree classified as a large tree in the manual grows to have a diameter of over 60 feet wide. Medium and small trees have similar size and spacing issues. Another area of conflict is where parking lot perimeter tree planting requirements and landscape screening requirements are adjacent to street tree planting requirements. Because of the size of the trees required by the manual are so large for their category, they overcrowd trees in the right-of-way. We found that on small sites, the code requirements for tree planting leads to 80% to 100% tree canopy cover at tree maturity. The urban forestry management plan's target is 33% tree canopy coverage citywide. We believe the city code planting requirements need to be adjusted to reflect a mature canopy cover of 33%. And I would also just like to mention that with the city's green building policy to shut irrigation off after 2 years of planting, the overcrowding of plant material becomes additionally stressed because the resources for sunlight and water are increased by the over planting of plant material. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi, good evening. My name is Terry Pree-Grigsby. And I'm here to represent two organizations, the chair of the Trying Creek Watershed Council and vice chair of the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District. We are encouraged by the proposed citywide tree project objectives, and we agree with the Forestry Commission that emphasis during the development process on preserving high-quality, large, and healthy trees over simply the number of trees, as well as protections for trees on property lines and adjacent sites, will help ensure that we protect the urban forest canopy. We would like to also emphasize the following. Consideration of snags as important bird and wildlife habitats. Encouragement for property owners to keep these snags that do not pose a safety concern. Education and training for the local arborist and landscaping community regarding the new rules. retention of urban forests that surround streams, wetlands, and other sensitive ecological sites. Obviously, forest vegetation plays a crucial role in filtering sediment, cooling water, and supplying valuable fish and wildlife habitat. We'd like to see outreach that encourages the use of native trees and shrubs on residential properties, and to expand the street tree list to include more native choices. Encouragement of the planting of fruit and nut trees on residential properties, parks, and along sidewalks. We believe that an increased food security in our community that grows food will increase the consumption of locally produced food and also complements our efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And finally, to prohibit the planting of city-listed nuisance tree species on city properties and rights-of-ways, we encourage the city to consult with the local cooperative weed management area partners to assure that nuisance tree species list includes appropriate species. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a 7-minute human needs break. So we're in recess.